you might be this close to getting a solution for somebody, but if you don't read that book or you don't didn't you know fi figure out what was in that article or something like that, you might miss it. You might simply miss it and have months and months of struggle when somebody else already found.
Welcome back to part two with Yoemi Waller. In the first part, Yoemi shared her journey with CTOX, gave us some great advice, and we continue to dive into AI, her leadership advice, and as always, our special ChatGPT question. Enjoy.
I've been, you know, in the industry for so many years. Most of the time was working for somebody else, right? For the last past 10 years, I have been working on my own. Sales process is very long because the healthcare industry takes a lot of time. They might want your services, but they have to wait for the next budget cycle to be able to get you in and things like that. Found Lior, and it seems like everything clicked, but also understanding that you have to get out of your comfort zone. If whatever I'm doing is not going to provide any benefit, what is it? You know, then it's no use for that. You know, if I'm going to be able to save somebody's life, if I'm going to be able to predict that somebody might get sicker and you have to do some intervention, if you're, you know, if those things are meaningful, right? So it's part of that, understanding that it's not just technology per se. It's also, what are you serving that technology for?
Yeah. And how has AI influenced your leadership in this past kind of year or so?
I think that I have become, I would not say cautious, but I have opened my eyes to understand I may not have the answers. I might have to reiterate something, or I might have to change something to try to find that answer. Nothing is infallible, right? Not even AI. So you got to be able to understand and be humble enough to understand we try it this way. You got to do it somewhere else, another way, because this is not getting where we want to go, right? You know, it's like Alexander Graham Bell. How many prototypes of the telephone he did? Thousands and thousands and thousands. So everything is like that.
Yes.
It's an evolution process. So the same, that technology and AI is evolving, and it's evolving really fast. And some people think that because it evolves, it's already going to solve all your problems. Not necessarily, right? It might improve the way you work today. It might improve your outcomes, but it's not the cure-all, fix-all, tomorrow nobody's sick and all that kind of thing. It doesn't happen, right? And managing and having the leadership to manage those expectations is key. Because, you know, for the people that are totally accepting, then you say, okay, let me help you understand what's going on. And to the people that are, go home, let's do this, everything AI. And I say, wait, hold on. You cannot just jump in the water like that, you know? So it's a lot of managing the expectations of people in the technology field, and also understanding, you know, the capabilities of the technology itself. Because somebody that is just too accustomed, and that happens a lot for technologists, you know, they are so into, oh, the next shiny thing, now I got the new thing, and it's, you know, it's super duper and everything will work. Not necessarily, right? Especially in the field that I am, which is healthcare, you cannot just jump like that at, oh, let's use the latest and the greatest, because it might not be the greatest. So it is that process and iteration of understanding what this tool can do for me. Is it really solving the problem? Maybe I have to do some tweaks because it might not be the actual, you know, solution that I'm looking for. So it's that process and having that humility to make it happen without feeling betrayed, right? It's like, no, you got to work with it. It's not like magically things are going to happen.
No, and you're right. The leader aspect of it, I think, is so important. And that's really, you know, what we try to do here at CTOX is take those CTOs and be like, your leadership is now more important than it's ever been. Really.
Exactly.
Since the invention of the internet, this has been the most crucial moment for CTOs. So you know, it's not just about, to your point, it's not just about the technology, but it's like, how do we manage the people, manage expectations? You know, how do we stay humble? How do we treat this?
Manage the
Like, it,
clients,
manage
all
the
of that.
client, all of, yeah, there's so many factors to it. And all of that is leadership, with background in technology. And that's why I know one of our most, I think, popular is the Level Up Leadership with Lior, where he looks into this, and a lot of his advice is exactly what you're saying, which is like, yeah, you know, sometimes you're not going to know everything, and that's okay. It's not that you have to know everything, but it's like you have to be able to lead people, the people above you and the people below you, and the clients, and all the different aspects. But being that leader is,
Absolutely, absolutely. And
it's nothing.
I always believe that you got to understand that you don't know everything. I always have this thing like, maybe I don't know something. I gotta figure it out, right? And being that constant quest, you know, for more information, to better understanding, to figuring things out,
Yes.
because you might be this close to getting a solution for somebody, but if you don't read that book or you don't didn't you know figure out what was in that article or something like that, you might miss it. You might simply miss it and have months and months of struggle. When somebody else already found, you know, the best way to do it, right? So I'm always, you know, to me it's super important. Also, part of that leadership is the learning. You never stop
Never
learning.
stop learning. Yeah, that's why we're in a program here. All right. Well, speaking of AI, this brings us to our final segment. This is the most fun I get to have. And Yoami doesn't know anything about this. Neither has the previous guest we've had on. So, a little nerve. I feel a little nervous here, but that's don't worry. Don't
Let's
worry.
see it. Let's see what it is.
So, I'm going to ask ChatGPT live right here, right now, for a question generated on the spot. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. We're just going to ask. And whatever it throws at you, Emmy, the challenge is for you to ask, to answer it.
Okay,
Are you
let's
up? Are
see.
you up for a
I might not
challenge?
know the answer, but let's see.
Let's see. All right. So
I'm okay with that too.
let's bring up ChatGPT. Here we go. And I'm going to say, hello, ChatGPT. We love a bit of spontaneity, so we thought, who better to challenge us than AI? What question would you like to ask a fractional CTO at this exact moment in time? Okay, it's searching, it's searching. It's thinking. Oh, it's really thinking about it. Okay. You know, Amy, this is your question. What's one sacred best practice in engineering leadership you secretly believe is slowing companies down, but no one dares to challenge because it's politically risky?
Thinking outside the box. Most people want to stay within the box because this is what we always have done. This is what we need because this is the way we've always done it for whichever amount of time. And if you tell a CEO or, you know, CIO that no, you're not supposed to do that. Think outside the box or you are in the box, you're not seeing, you know, far enough. People are scared of that, right?
Really?
People are very scared of doing that. In my case, I think I just throw it out. You know, I just say, you know what? You are having too much of a narrow thinking. You gotta expand the opportunities. You know, you cannot be thinking that you're gonna go to the future just looking right here in the middle, right there, because that's what you is your comfort zone. So I think that's what would be the breakthrough,
The breakthrough.
right?
And how would you advise people? Because I can imagine people out there thinking, well, that's all nice for you to say, but how do what next time I'm in that room, in that board meeting, in that C-level suite, and I want to suggest something that's outside the box, how should they approach that so that they're not screamed at or thrown out of the room?
I think Number one, before you ask the question or you say something, you have to be in good terms with yourself. Whatever happened is okay, right? Whether they accept your out-of-the-box idea or whether they don't, it's okay. So ask it anyway.
Okay.
You might, you know, start, for example, saying, this is outside of the box, but my suggestion is A, B, or C.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I like that.
If it brings in an uproar, how are you going to say that? Ah, da, da. Well, let me explain. And then you try to explain each one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
If they say, we have always done it this way, and I say, it's okay. That means you will continue to have the same results because you are tapped in this level, right? Mm. The box is not letting you grow. The box is not letting you solve the problems. The box is not letting you see the future. Mm. So you start by making them understand, oh, maybe I should open my eyes to you know, bigger things, better things, you know? Especially with when I'm this unknown that, you know, it might be not politically correct, right, to say it, but, you know, sometimes, and I have said it in a conference, actually, in front of 500 people, I say AI is like teenager sex. Everybody says they're doing it, but they're really not. You know? And then with that, breaks the ice, and people say like, oh, wow, yeah, she's right. Everybody's bragging about it. Everybody's saying mm-hmm. they're doing it. Everybody's saying, I got the greatest and the bestest thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really not.
They're really not.
We start, go back and analyze, where are you with your data? Where are you with your infrastructure? Where are you with your computing capability? All these things are not aligned. So mm-hmm. you're not doing AI. You believe you are because you don't know the insights of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big revelation, you know, for CIOs and CEOs. And yeah, you're right there, said it, you know. People get shocked when you say like out of the box like that. And of course, you know, it is super, you know, to me, to be able to introduce, you know, crazy things like you know, in AI. It's like that. I give that little story about, you know, teenage sex and everybody goes like, they're shocked. Like, what? What did you just say? Totally politically incorrect, right? And everybody went like,
but you got their attention. You've got their attention.
Their attention,
and it makes sense.
Back about their own teenage time, you know, and they say, "Yeah, I was bragging that I did and that and whatever, and was not doing anything." You know, so there you go. See, same thing. So I think it's to be brave. Be brave and say it.
Yeah, I like that preemptively saying it because then it kind of softens the blow. Listen, this is going to sound completely off the wall or this is completely out of the box. And then people kind of brace themselves for it. And then whatever you say, it's never going to be as hard hitting than if you just came straight out with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, set that scene. I like that. That's great advice. And then, yeah, just be brave, follow through, have the information ready to go. But yeah, get rid of this best practice of thinking inside the box. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Especially for innovation and technology, you got to be able to go that further, you know. There are companies that are too attached to their legacy systems.
Mm.
You know, we develop ourselves this system and, you know, we got it for 10 years and we have made a lot of money with that. Yeah, that was then.
Yeah.
You want to grow in the future, you want to do these other and that's another box completely. Your old box, it's all. That's it.
Yeah, I think we might need to change you from AI evangelist to change evangelist. Just bravery.
It's part of it. You know, some people also, when you know, when I'm speaking, they also call me the data czar, right?
Mm. Yes.
So being the data czar, what does the czar does dictates this and that and the other. And I say, you know, I don't become the data czar until you are able to really believe that you're doing the correct thing. It's not that I'm doing the correct thing, that you and your company are doing the correct thing. Because if I'm evangelizing something and let's say, you know, whichever idea, and I'm telling this is the way or whatnot, no, it's gotta be a consensus. It gotta be that they believe, yes, I think that we need to go that way. And then I become their data czar. Then they say, oh yes, we know that, you know it.
Yes, and then they change anything that you tell them to change, right?
Exactly, because it proves the point, right? It proves the point.
It does. And
you have to be able to maneuver all of that, you know, and the most important thing, and I believe, is that each one of the CTOs have to know their value. Sometimes people have worked for an employer or all their lives and they don't know, you know. For them, it's like a venture because, yeah, I might want to have some more money or I might want to expand myself. But that means that they also have to expand their own personal self.
Yes.
Right? And have their own value and understand, you know what? I'm worth this amount of money. Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. If they don't believe that, they're going to be giving away their work. They're going to be charging pennies, you know, and they're going to be taking advantage of having to work too much stuff for very little money. That's not how this works. You know,
that's not the CTOX way. Absolutely.
It's not how you should work, you know, and change of mentality is super important, you know, for the fellow members, I think.
Yeah.
Understanding that, you know what, if I want to make it to the next level, I have to grow to the next level.
Yes. Yes. And be brave. I love that. Yoemi, thank you so much. I could talk to you all day long, but I know that you're so busy. But thank you so much. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for all of your knowledge and insights and wonderful advice to anybody listening here. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Stories, experiences, and advice you hear today are incredibly valuable, not just for CTOs, but for the broader tech community and leaders. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Inside CTOX. Don't forget to follow us on social media, tag us, and share your favorite insights from the episode. We love hearing your feedback. Make sure to subscribe and check in again for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the stories behind the tech leaders shaping the future. Until next time.